It's time to talk about heading out on a bike ride or a bike trek. I'm not quite sure exactly how you. It's a long distance. It's a going from El Paso, Texas to Veracruz, Mexico. That is the path taken by Michael Reynolds. He's an assistant preparator for the Allen Memorial Art Museum in his day job, but he's also one who does a lot of long distance biking. I guess he's also hiked the Appalachian Trail, the Pacific Crest Trail, but he's also taken some longer bike rides, and he's here to talk about a new movie that he has put together of his trek called Tex-Mex Joyride, and they're going to be showing that at the First Church in Oberlin this coming Saturday at 7 o'clock. Michael, good morning. Thank you for joining us.
Good morning. Thank you for having me.
So we're playing a little music there. I wonder, I know runners have a lot of music in their head when they're traveling. As a cyclist, is that something you do as well, have a soundtrack or put something on music, or do you just like to sort of be there in the moment of where you're traveling through and hearing the sounds of that particular ride?
Well, I do some of both, and it kind of depends on the traffic situation. But sometimes when I'm on those long stretches, say out in the middle of the desert, and there's not much traffic, I'll have both earbuds in. And sometimes I'll just have one in when I'm trying to pay more attention to the traffic. And sometimes it's pretty intense in the middle of a big city, and I don't have any earbuds in. I'm trying to stay alive.
I've seen some of the footage from this where you're on sort of a long stretch of a road, and all of a sudden a vehicle will be traveling. I don't know how fast they're going, probably too fast for your good at sometimes. Right by you as well. But I guess as somebody who's done this a lot, you kind of get a little bit of a, I don't know what, used to that sort of thing, or a little bit of a buffer. You kind of get, you're not as startled, I suppose, by a lot of that as some of us who might start doing this.
Well, the first couple of days in Mexico, I was a bit startled and had to get used to sort of different rules of the road. But I learned to stay over as far right as I could, but whenever there was an obstacle and I needed to pull out, the drivers were really very, very kind, and nobody beeped at me or anything like that. So I quickly kind of figured out how it worked there, and it worked out. I made it.
So, Michael, let's talk a little bit about this long-haul bike ride all the way to Mexico. What was the idea behind it?
Well, in 2015, I had done the southern part of the Great Divide mountain bike route, which goes from Banff, Canada, down to the Mexican border at New Mexico. I'd done the part in Colorado and New Mexico, and I was going to do the northern half this past year, but my vacation time got pushed back, and so I decided to go to where I had ended previously at El Paso and continue south because it was later in the fall. And the other reason, I was just interested in going into Mexico because I get so much bad press, and I thought, I think the Mexican people are, a lot nicer than that, and I wanted to see for myself, and I wanted to make a movie about it. So that's how I ended up going down into Mexico in October.
Were you with somebody, or is this a solo trip? How is it filmed?
This was a solo trip. I was in Texas for I think 430 miles before I crossed the border, and I met several bicyclists in Texas because it's part of a common bike route across the southern United States. But once I turned into Mexico, I was by myself. I saw other people on bicycles, in towns and cities, but I didn't see any other long-distance bicycle riders.
Michael, you speak of the different bicycle groups, bicycle riders. Is there a sense of community out there among you, some sort of camaraderie?
Yeah, there are lots of long-distance bicycle riders. All over the world. In the United States, there's a network of routes, about 45,000 miles altogether, that have been mapped out by the Adventure Cycling Association. And there are people out there all the time.
And when you're doing this, where do you stay, or what do you do overnight?
It depends. Sometimes I would stay in backpacking hostels or hotels, or I would camp. It just it just depended on what was available and what the weather conditions were.
There's sort of a very, at the beginning of the film, there's sort of like that speed action moment of you assembling this tent, this one person kind of tent that you have there. I guess that's what you do when you can't find other kind of shelter, I suppose, then, right?
That's right. That's right. I do have a very lightweight tent, weighs less than 2 pounds, and so it's easy to take along, and that's my backup.
What was it like? How did you meet people along the way? What were your plans to do this from point A to point B? Did you think, well, if this looks interesting, I'll stop here, or I'll go for so many miles, or are you following some sort of GPS? What's the situation for that?
Well, in Mexico, I would go on the assumption that if I rode long enough, I would eventually come to a hotel. And all but one day, that worked. And I had some long days before it worked out, but I didn't really have, any information ahead of time what kind of accommodations there would be. I had a route mapped up, which I had to alter somewhat, but I just didn't know what the accommodations were going to be.
How's the translation in your language skills down there? What was that like for you?
I can speak enough Spanish to get lodging, to get something to eat, maybe have a simple conversation, but that's about it. But people were, they were just delighted to talk with me, and sometimes we had to, pull out the map and do things without really talking, and it always worked out.
We're talking this morning with Michael Reynolds, who works at the Allen Memorial Art Museum, but he also went on what is called the Tex-Mex Joyride. That's the name of the movie. What is Bike Punks Film? Is that your own film company, or is this a distributor of film? Who are these people?
Yeah, it's my own film company, but it's not really a film company. It's just a name that I'm using.
Sure.
So that's all it is.
Well, sure. You have to have other names to make it look a little bit bigger than it might be as well.
That's by the way,
that's PUNX for those people wanting to spell this. When you're doing this, it's sort of like a travel log. You meet sort of people. Did you get from this what you hoped to when you initially set out to make this trip?
Yeah, I did. I was hoping to try to capture the kindness of strangers, basically, and I expected that it would happen again. I've done these long trips and have been out there, in a sort of vulnerable condition where I need the help of other people, and they just have always responded, and it did happen over and over and over again, and I was able to sometimes get that on video and include it in the movie.
How about any bumps in the road? I saw a package of Imodium somewhere in that film. There was, and I know that, it's sort of quintessential. I mean, I guess you can't visit Mexico without having some story like that. But you survived, huh?
Yeah, I was basically out of commission for about 3 days when I was, recovering from Montezuma's Revenge, and it was my own fault because I got a sandwich from a street vendor, and I shouldn't have done that, and I sort of paid the price for it, but I had medicine to help get over it, and I took the time to do that. The other thing that I had prepared for ahead of time was the dogs, and I got rabies shots ahead of time. And I took some pepper spray with me, and I probably had to outrun dog packs 3 or 4 times. And one time I just was too tired, and I ended up giving them a spray of pepper spray. But other than those two things, there really weren't major difficulties. People didn't give me any problems at all.
How about mechanics? Mechanical? How is your bike holding up for that trip?
I had one small piece of wire that got into my tire, and caused me to fix the same flat basically three times before I finally found the wire. But other than that, I didn't have trouble. But I have I've set my bike up to be very durable, you know, with really good tires and so forth. And that was really the only mechanical problem I had.
Michael, speaking of mechanics, I noticed from your bio that you work at the Allen Memorial Art Museum in Oberlin. You're involved with matting and framing of art and getting exhibits ready, but you are also the unofficial caretaker of light bulbs, and I think that's probably something we take for granted. We go into a museum, everything is well lit, but you replace light bulbs too?
That's right, and you may have seen the last time I counted, there were 467 light bulbs that are shining on art in that museum. And so each morning I'll walk through the whole museum and see if anything is burned out, and if it is, I'll replace it. And sometimes that is a light bulb that's, you know, on a ceiling that's, 20-some feet high. So we have a hydraulic lift that I can use. It's just a daily routine.
Well, it's a 100-year-old museum, so you're celebrating that this year. So you want to make sure that it's well lit and that everybody can enjoy the art as best as possible. You do have coming up on June 12th. I see a little bit of a celebration for the museum. Can you tell us a little bit about that?
Yes, it will be our centennial. The museum opened in 1917, so we're celebrating its 100th birthday this summer. And on Monday, June 12th, we will have some cake out on the lawn in the afternoon, and there will be tours led by curators who designed the shows that are in the museum. And it'll be a lot of fun if anybody wants to come out and see what we have there.
Yeah, over the last decade or so, a lot of renovations and sort of cleanup and getting it all ready, as well as people still enjoy coming out there. To not only the students there, but the community as well, to see something great, the Allen Memorial Art Museum. But coming up on Saturday, you'll be showing at First Church in Oberlin your film Tex-Mex Joyride. You excited about that?
I am. The trip was difficult because of road conditions and traffic, but was so wonderful because of the people. And, and I tried to include all of that in the film. And I'm really looking forward to sharing that with people and to having a chance afterwards to take questions. And but if people cannot make it and they still want to see it, it is available on YouTube and they can find it by that title, Tex-Mex Joyride.
A lot of nice music in there, a lot of vistas. People get to see areas and see some of the peoples and different things. But it's a way to bring the people to Oberlin, who, you know, to see what happens. El Paso, Texas to Veracruz, Mexico was your trip. You're now probably planning your next one. As somebody who rides cycles, you probably are already looking for another big adventure, I suppose.
I am. Eventually, I would like to return to Veracruz and continue south. Before that happens, though, my wife and I are going to go with a good friend to Spain in the fall, and we're going to walk across northern Spain on the old pilgrim's route to the Camino de Santiago.
Wow, that sounds fascinating. Well, Michael, we appreciate your time this morning. You know, you got to get busy getting back to work, matting and framing different artwork. You never know what awaits you there, probably at the museum. It's an adventure every day for you there. Our guest this morning, Michael Reynolds, again, the Tex-Mex Joyride movie and talk is coming up on Saturday at First Church in Oberlin, 7 o'clock. Stop by and see that and enjoy some of the film and talk to Michael about his experience. We appreciate your time and sharing it with us this morning. Thank you, Michael.
Thank you, Bruce.